It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so the other day, I'm going Burger King to get lunch for myself and my wife, Trish, the producer. I will spare you the details into it, but I am in a bad mood. Not aware of this as I leave the house, but I'm listening to like stuff on the radio and it's just like kicking me off for some reason. And suddenly like, I'm in a bad mood. And stuff had happened that could have put me in a bad mood. And I'm like, that makes sense. But I'm like, that sucks. I'm in a bad mood. Get to Burger King. There's a drive-thru speaker. And the drive-thru speaker says to me, "Welcome to Burger King. How the hell are you?" I was caught for a second. I was like, huh. And I was like, pretty good. How are you? And the person on the other end said, "I'll be honest with you, man. I really wish I wasn't here right now." And I go, and he says, "Anyway, let's just get this over with. What can I get for you?"
Wow.
And I gave him my order and he was like perfectly polite. Like, you know, "Is that all you'd need? Okay, great. It's this much. Pull ahead." And I ended up not saying anything because in the time it took me to get up there and pay for it and get my food and everything, I could not reconcile the two things I wanted to say, which was, one, you got to watch it because you say that stuff to the wrong person and they're complaining to your boss and it's bad. And two, thank you so much. That made my day and has put me in a much better mood than I was in a minute ago. I couldn't find a way to like convey both of those messages, so I didn't say anything. But let's get this over with was really just the cherry on the top.
Damn. Let's get this over with.
Yep. He built that really nice and got super lucky. Like, I'm like just the right person with a stick up their butt. Like, oh, he would have been in so much trouble. I was like, that's the most fun thing that happened to me that day. Hello everyone, welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world trying to cope with the idea that don't disapprove of gambling. And I don't disapprove of advertising. But for some reason, I disapprove of advertising for gambling. Seriously. Like, I mean, I can't rationalize. Like, I'm like, it's fine. I mean, if I'm okay with there being ads and I'm okay with there being gambling, there should be able to be ads for gambling. But there's so many right now for all of the different betting sites, especially I think because of the Super Bowl, and it just pisses me off every time. I'm like, you are monsters, go away. I'm like, Jamie Foxx, you should know better. Anyway, I'm Tony,
and I'm William, and this is episode 515.
YouTube is just really hitting me up with the various betting sites.
You know what I think? There's probably the thing about the betting thing, the betting advertisements that I've noticed is it's not like, I don't know, maybe that doesn't really apply. It just seems like if you see a beer commercial, for example, I don't get the message from a beer commercial that the commercial is trying to get you to like get blackout drunk, but the gambling commercial does feel like they want you to spend all your money. I mean, I don't know. You just really get that impression from it to me. I do anyway.
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe it's not subtle enough. was like, alcohol commercials are basically like, have this product and you'll have a cool time.
Yeah, cool person.
Yeah. And if a gambling, like, honestly, the casino ads don't bother me as much because the casino ads are like, come here, it'll be fun. You'll gamble a little bit, you'll have some good food, it'll be a blast. These things are like, do this and you'll make money. No, you will not.
Yeah.
If the gambling ads were like, you know what? You're probably going to lose, but maybe not too much. In the meantime, it makes it kind of fun because I'm not opposed to gambling. I gamble sometimes. Like, I'm not trying to win money.
Yeah.
At least I am aware that I'm not going to win money. It's the thrill. I mean, gambling, so many things are just versions of gambling. Stock market, most insurance policies, things like this. But like, I'm not opposed to the concept of wagering on things. Just the thing where they're, well, I mean, in the lottery, the same lottery is despicable. This whole idea, oh, you could win a big, no, you could not. I mean,
well, that's what I mean. I mean, what if,
intents and purposes, you could not do that.
I mean, what if a beer commercial was like this? Are you feeling kind of depressed? Are you feeling really sad right now? Don't you think it'd be a good time to start drinking a whole six pack of beer? You know, and most of the gambling things are kind of like that. Like, don't you want some money? Don't you want to win money? Yeah. It's like, well,
see, beer commercials are still trying to convince me that if I drink their beer, I'm going to have a way better time and women will probably be way more into me.
Right. But they're not, that's targeting, bullshit. They're not targeting you. Like if you were an alcoholic, and yes, targeting those things about being an alcoholic that might make you want to drink. Whereas the gambling things seem like they're going after gambling addicts. It just seems like that to me. I don't know.
The aforementioned Jamie Foxx one, I've only seen the first 5 seconds because of course I've only seen the first 5 seconds. It's Jamie Foxx and he's like, step one, download the whatever app. Step two, go with your gut. Fuck you. How about play the odds? The most likely chance you'll win. I mean, you don't have to. That's so, like, step one, download this app. Step two, throw your money into a dumpster and pray it comes back to you tenfold.
Like, yeah, I mean, this is what I'm saying.
Step three, throw a dart at a map.
I seriously doubt the visceral response you're having is about ads or gambling. It's probably the way they're going about it. I wouldn't be surprised. Because that's what I notice when I see these ads. It's like, wow, you don't even care. You're just really going for that weak-willed person. I mean, all ads do in a way, but it seems like these ads are just like,
and the casino ads are, it's fun, it's exciting, and it tastes good because we have really good food.
And there might be a show or something.
They're wrong about all three of those things. But I can understand the argument. And don't get me wrong, casinos are incredibly despicable in general, but their ads are relatively straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And like, not horrific.
Go with your gut. Wow, that is the worst.
Step two.
I guess I
stopped after 5 seconds, so maybe step three was ignore your gut and go look up some, you know, odds. And then there's this one with this guy talking basically, and I mean, I've already got this. So this podcast episode is going to get sued, specifically the episode. Each episode is its own limited liability corporation. Cause I said the word Super Bowl and I'm saying it again right now, Super Bowl. This is the thing that fascinates me this time of year is you can't say those words in an ad. And you can't say those words in an ad where your prize is actually tickets to the Super Bowl. Or for another example, you can't say the word Super Bowl in an ad for a gambling thing that will legit let you bet on the Super Bowl. Like, Susan G. Komen has nothing on this company. Whoever runs the Super Bowl has copyright so tight, you're just not allowed to say the words together, even in a completely legitimate context that just factually describes it as a thing. And that's always been amazing to me over the years, where the radio stations are like, you could win tickets to the big game. You know, the one. And the thing one, he said, I'm going to say it anyway. And every time he would say it, they would just bleep it. But Or can't get it.
I'm not going to say who it was, but I knew somebody who worked for an ad agency who they handled.
Was it Don accounts. Draper? It was Don Draper, wasn't it?
They handled accounts for casinos, but also for the state's nonprofit, you know, anti-gambling.
Nice. You know,
because a lot of states have it's not anti-gambling, it's anti-gambling addiction. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they worked on both accounts. Like, wow. I mean, you know, I don't, that's not really a conflict of interest, but it is. I think they did think it was weird. It felt weird.
And nothing really tells you you deserve a place on the B arc more than that kind of thing. Remember from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
On the what?
The B arc. So there's a bit in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy thing where some civilization was dying, so they built these three giant space arcs to save the people. And A arc was full of all the thinkers of their civilization, all the judges and all the philosophers and all the mathematicians and, you know, academics and stuff like that. And then the C arc was full of all the doers, the people who built things and made things. And the B arc was filled with, I believe, examples they gave were lawyers, hairdressers, and phone receiver cleaners. And it was all the people who neither did the thinking or the doing in society. And I mean, advertising exec falls right in. And the whole bit is they basically gave the B arc the wrong information about where they were going. And so the B arc disappeared. And,
oh, I kind of remember that now.
Yeah. Our heroes encounter the B arc, and that's why this all comes up.
Yeah.
Every time something with like advertising, and especially something like that, it's like we're advertising for the cause and the solution.
Yeah.
I'm like, yep. You should be on the B arc, or as Homer said of alcohol, the cause and solution to all my problems. Yeah. So it is so nice to have Disney Plus and have all the Simpsons right there. I watched a video the other day talking about some behind the scenes knowledge about the episode of The Simpsons that John Waters was on, and it reminded me how much I liked that. So I just flipped on Disney Plus and watched the old John Waters episode of The Simpsons. And it holds up. It's real good. And my new catchphrase is going to be "Ultra Suede is a miracle. This is just good timing." It was funnier in context. And when John Waters says it. Fun fact about the John Waters episode. John Waters, as people know, has the platonic ideal of the straight pencil mustache. And in fact, it is so straight and thin, they couldn't animate it. Because when they drew it on the character, it constantly looked like an art mistake. So in the episode, he has a mustache that's kind of a squiggly line, so you can tell it's a mustache.
Mm.
It's apparently because drawing the other one just looked like they had missed the lip edge at one point or something, so they had to do it slightly different. But otherwise, it totally looks like him.
Mm.
So that's fun. Anyway, for those of you just joining us, I should explain about this podcast and what it's for. It's not all the stuff we just mentioned. It's to promote gambling. I mean, for just a dollar, you could. I don't even know how to promote gambling. So I'm going to leave it. Anyway, we have a hat, magic, in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like you, like also them, people write in that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat magically, on its own, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's advertising representative servants, draw the note cards out of the hat at random read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. Advertising executives, that is a thing. Advertising executives are what so many movie protagonists are. Somebody was, I saw a thing one time talking about basically shit that happens in movies, but not in real life. It's mostly because the people that make movies have different lives from us. And one of the big ones is movies constantly have the career making count or case they have to do, like one big presentation. And if they get this, they're set. And if they don't, they'll probably lose their job.
Right.
They have this because that's what selling movies is. Like, that's you sell a script, you pitch a movie to somebody, and that is how it goes. And the only, rather than just make every movie character be, you know, a screenwriter, which would get a little weird, advertising executive is, or at least appears to be, similar. So that they're always advertising executives, and they always have a last minute, you know, this presentation is going to make or break the company. Although I'm not sure that's actually true in advertising either, but Ezzie has decided to visit. You can sort of see her. Yeah, I don't know. I just threw that out there. How's your week been?
Well, we're still doing the playtest for the game. And found out that for the purpose of playtesting, it's only going to be like 10 sessions, which means we've only got like 3 left, which, you know, it's fine. But it's also kind of sad because these characters have been really fun to sort of develop and do stuff with. And it's like, oh, it's going to be, it's a really good game experience when it, you know, when it's going to end, you are sad about it.
Yes.
I mean,
and it's good to get out then, because I have had far too many games that were really good, and then we sort of ran it into the ground till we lost steam. And it's so much better if you actually go out on a narrative arc. There's like a climax and a resolution, and you're like, oh, those characters were so cool.
Yeah. An interesting thing that's happening is when Abby and I were creating our characters, we, you know, didn't at all like try to figure out how they would get along or what they would do. In fact, the characters we created didn't have any reason at all to interact with one another, which we didn't do that on purpose. But when it seemed pretty clear that that was the case, we thought, well, that's good, because we don't want to, you know, we don't want it to be a thing where our characters are always hanging out together and doing stuff together and not really with everybody else. But as the whole thing is kind of starting to wind down, we've only got a few sessions left. The characters, quite without, you know, our really thinking about it or planning it, have found themselves sort of coming together in the narrative has sort of brought them together anyway, which is really interesting, because, like I said, when we first put the characters together, I was certain that we could have had, you know, 50 sessions and there would never have been a reason for my character Bill to ever interact with her character Vox. And they just didn't have any reason to. In fact,
is her character anything like her in real life? Mm-mm. Your character is very much like you in real life, according to you. So
that's true, except the one thing that's different about him is that
he washes dishes.
No, I wash dishes.
And you also smuggle then, so what's the difference?
People outside of his immediate like his immediate family or his immediate acquaintances, everybody outside of that he sees only as you know, a means to an end. And
so, like you,
no, I'm not like that at all. But Vox is, you know, is a species that comes, that photosynthesizes and comes from a planet where that's a thing. And it's, Vox doesn't need things in the way that most entities that Bill experiences needs things. So he doesn't know what to do with Vox, doesn't understand even how to interact with Vox. And so I thought for sure, never have anything to do with Vox. And again, I thought, well, that's fine, because then it's, you know, like I said, we're not constantly doing things together while the rest of the players do something else. But it turns out Vox ended up having something that Bill really wanted, that Bill wanted. He didn't know how he was going to get it from Vox, but Vox was the only person that had it, and he needed it, or, you know, really wanted it. So he had to figure out a way to interact with her and tried to figure out something to offer, even though he wasn't convinced that Vox would want it. So, and so just
alien dish scrubber. Is that what Bill wanted?
No, it's information that he thinks.
Oh, really, on how to make an alien dish scrubber.
Very valuable information that, you know, he just has to have. So, you know, it's just interesting how without planning it, and even without really wanting it, our two characters are sort of starting to figure out some things together, and maybe they'll get a chance to like work that out. Maybe not. I don't know, but it's kind of fun and it's interesting to see it happen. That's another thing that's fun and interesting is when you're doing a character like this, you think of all this stuff about their backstory, about, you know, things about their life that might never come up in the game, but it's still fun to think about, like, you know, in general or outside of the game. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I'm going to miss that when the game's over. It's like, oh, you know, I'll probably move on to other things and won't think about it again. But it's been really fun to think about my character and the other characters and the whole environment. I mean, it's really been fun.
There's an old technique some theater directors would use of helping people get into the headspace of their characters. So all the lines are written and, you know, it's all determined. You're just acting. But what they would do is exercises where you're playing your characters and we stick you like in a house for the afternoon or whatever. And you just improv what you think your characters would do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've known people who have written fan fiction about games they've been in.
Really? Like
extra stories afterwards. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or a fan fiction about everything. Tried to get into a role-playing game my freshman year of college, but I showed up, I expressed interest too late, and there were already a bunch of people. I was allowed to just sit in and watch it, which I did, and I had a lot of fun with that. At a certain point, I started making little post-it notes and just sending them to people with little jokey tips about what their character should do next. I had a lot of fun with that.
Okay. I mean, that didn't annoy anybody?
My own little bit of fan fiction. Surprisingly not. In retrospect, it should have.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't think it would have annoyed me, but knowing people the way I do, I think it would have annoyed some people.
I'm surprised.
How was your week?
It's okay. Fairly uneventful, which I like. This is a thing I've discovered. I'm much happier when my actual life is boring. Which doesn't seem right in my head, but it is a thing. And then fictitious lives get crazy. In fact, I had players in a game one time be like, the better your life is getting, the more hell you're putting us through in a way that we don't like. I cut off a little chunk of my finger while peeling potatoes.
Ouch.
Potato peeler. It's really annoying now. It didn't even hurt that much, but it's one of those that's not a cut. It's just like a slice off the top. It was kind of bleeding, and now it's not bleeding, but it's an incredibly thin layer of skin. So when it touches against anything, it stings like it was burned or something. It's really annoying.
Ouch.
I made some really good mashed potatoes.
Also painful.
This was my first week of not going to the store. We ordered the stuff online and I just got curbside pickup and it worked pretty good. They got us the greenest bananas on the face of the earth. So we got them Monday and we still haven't eaten any of them. But they'll ripen eventually.
Yeah.
I'm playing the original Final Fantasy VII. I still don't know why. It's a weird compulsion. While I'm also playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey's DLC, which is hard, because I think I've hit that Assassin's Creed wall where it's all starting to feel the same and I need a break. But if I can power through this first DLC, which is just basically more of the same shit that's been in the game, I'm pretty sure the second DLC gets a little weird, so that'll be different. So, fingers crossed. But we are almost done with season two of His Dark Materials, which is pretty good. They changed a lot of things from the book, like bringing in characters that don't even show up till the next book and whole plot points that didn't exist and all this. And at a certain point, I was like, how much of this is different? Like, I was starting to not remember correctly which parts were accurate to the book and which weren't. So I looked it up on it. Yeah, apparently I don't remember the books well. This entire season is dead on plot point for plot point like the book. Apparently I just do not remember the book very well at all. And I think the first season, which I thought was way different, isn't, except one of the main characters in the trilogy doesn't show up until the second book. And in the TV show, in the first season, they basically gave him some backstory and introduced him early. Otherwise, still pretty much the same. And I apparently really don't remember these books very well. Enjoying that. Saw two movies. Actually saw three movies. But one of them is actually saw four movies. Two of them are super shit horror movie things, so I don't usually talk about that. I do want to talk about this one, though, because this is how bad it was. It's called The Haunting of Margam Castle, and no one should see it. It's terrible for a lot of reasons. But I think this exemplifies it really well. The ghost hunters go to the castle, and they meet the caretaker of the castle, and they're like, oh, and you must be so-and-so I talked to, and you must be Mr. And the guy says, Doctor, actually. And he says, oh, what would a doctor be doing interested in this stuff? And he says, oh, I'm not a medical doctor. And he says, oh, what are you a doctor of? And he says, well, I got my minor in parapsychology while getting my bachelor's in psychology. Then they go on to a new topic. So.
Okay.
I mean, there's a couple of possibilities that are going on here, and neither of them is not incredibly stupid. Like, you specifically corrected him to call you doctor. What the fuck? No, not that. So, two movies that I actually are talking about. One, I finally saw Star Trek Beyond, the third of the rebooted Star Trek movies. I just had never gotten around to it, and it was never available to watch for free on one of my streaming services, and it finally was, so I watched it. Fine, I guess. See the second one? It was basically good as that, I guess.
Yeah.
I just don't fucking care. Also, actually, if you did see the second one, there are several major world building points that change the entire face of how Star Trek works. And in the third movie, we just forget all of them. So that's a thing. Outside of that, I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, it was an episode of Star Trek that was long for no reason. The stakes were never, I mean, I just never believed it. I'm never like, oh, maybe the bad guys will win. No, that's never gonna happen. Like, come on. It borders on watching an MCU movie, except the jokes aren't as funny. But it's the same kind of thing, and like, I'm not at all worried that things are going to go bad for anyone.
I don't think one of the things I've, you know, with all the Star Trek stuff that I've ever seen is, whether I find it compelling or not, it's almost always interesting, except for the new movies. There's nothing interesting about them at all.
I liked the first one, and I'm now realizing it was a novelty factor. It's the idea that we were rebooting it, that we were looking at it from a different perspective, and that we were then fucking with the whole alternate timeline thing was an interesting concept to me. And so that was good for that reason. It wasn't particularly rewatchable, but it was interesting itself. Yeah, the other two.
But it didn't say anything interesting, right? Like that was one of the things you could always count on for Star Trek, is even if what it had to say wasn't particularly compelling or was even kind of dumb, it was trying to say something. And yeah, that,
you're right. There's no message in the rebooted one.
No, they don't say anything about anything. I mean, the original, I mean, I don't know. Like the original Khan episodes from the TV show, I mean, you know, there was trying to make comments about eugenics and all this stuff. And in the movie, they kind of kept that going. But in the second new Star Trek movie,
kind of did. It did not really do very well.
They didn't really care about that. It was like action. You know, these are trying to be action movie. Like they are. They're trying to be.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. They got very serious talks about people. Then it turned out the only people you cared about were the ones who were in the opening credits. Like, we get a lot of that. We get a lot about, like, comments about humanity, but then fuck humanity when it's not the people that you know their first names.
Right. I mean, it's just not like these new films are not like Star Trek in that way.
For good or for evil, it was a very Roddenberry thing. Roddenberry was obsessed with exploring the human condition. And he didn't always do it super well. That was what he was trying to do. And that was interesting. I mean, these ones are just action movies. And they're fine action movies. The last two especially just feel lazy as hell.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty. They're very pretty. I mean, you could spend a worse 2 hours. There was some really gorgeous stuff happening in this movie. Didn't care about the story,
but without those themes, for lack of a better term, because when they have the themes in Star Trek, and again, I've noticed this about every version of Star Trek except these movies, although I haven't seen the new ones on CBS All Discovery, Access or whatever. Yeah. When they have the themes, they don't just talk about the themes. I mean, there's a lot of stuff built around it, like how each character uniquely interacts with the theme. There's technological stuff. There's futurism type stuff. There's
a lot of speculative fiction elements.
Yeah.
That don't exist in the movies.
And again, even if it's not very well done, it's almost always interesting in some way. I mean, you find yourself in deep conversations with people, and you'll use a Star Trek episode as an example to illustrate something. It's not even a good Star Trek episode, but it works for that. You know, it's like, that to me is what Star Trek in my life is good for, basically. Cause there's a lot of things that I don't appreciate about Star Trek. I wouldn't call myself a super fan or anything, but I like that aspect of it. And I call it up in conversation. But the new movies don't give you any of that. Don't give you any of that.
Yeah.
So
I also watched a thing recently that pointed out conceptually the three antagonists from the three movies are exactly the same thing, which is awkward. But had actor mostly famous for being in Community, but also a good actor in many other things, Danny Pudi, playing alien who doesn't say anything in English, who's in only one scene, and you can't tell it's him because of all the makeup. But the Amazon X-ray thing told me it was him. Just like seeing him get work. Anyway, all this talk segues very nicely into the other movie I saw on Netflix called Outside the Wire. And it is a Netflix original film starring Anthony Mackie and the fixer guy from the first two seasons of House of Cards and nobody else I recognize. Have you seen it?
No, I mean, I keep seeing promotional things for it. It looks like it might be interesting.
The premise appears to be, I mean, based on trailers and stuff, in the near future, there's a new war that breaks out over in Eastern Europe. And we're in the near future, which means we now have robotic soldiers. Not like super smart, but they can go out and do things. And then we have a drone pilot who gets in trouble. So he has to go to the front lines and work for this officer who it turns out is an advanced super secret android. And then hijinks ensue.
Yeah, this is something that I should probably watch.
No, you shouldn't.
Why? It's got androids in it. You know I like
watching stuff. It's bad. It's quite bad. Here's the thing.
I have to watch it.
Okay, but I think it might be very unpleasant for you. It is caught between being two different kinds of movies and consequently fails horribly at both.
Yeah.
Sure, I was hoping it was just going to be android action movie.
No.
We've got scenes like that, and some of them are kind of fun. Not a lot, though, and they rely a little heavily on what's obviously just sped up footage in some cases. We don't have very many of those, so it is not good for that. And beyond that, it is trying really hard and really badly to be a movie talking about the futility of war and the value of human life and American imperialism and shit like that. And it is so tone deaf and so ham fisted. It's monstrous. This movie is all message. That message is a random wordless scream. There are like four twists in succession, and each one somehow makes me care less about the outcome. And the last twist makes you go, what? And if that was the plan the whole time, this whole thing has been a terrible idea. It's bad. It's bad.
But it's got robots in it.
Not very much. That's the other thing. The robotic soldiers weren't done well, but also could be completely taken out of the movie and the movie would completely not change. I don't know why they're there. Android is a one of a kind, top secret, cutting edge project. It's about him. The other, the gumps, as they call them, that's what they call the other one because that's fun. Don't need to be there. And also are done really bad. There's a lot of things if you're like, if you were going to make robot soldiers, this is not how you would make them. You know, the usual thing. It's the same with like Terminator and shit like that. Bipedal. For starters, is terrible. Yeah, they don't need to be in the movie at all. You can watch it for free, but it's
not. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. I mean, you know, robots.
I want you to watch it because I want you to be upset that you watched it. I want you to come back and be like,
But love it. It could be like Ghost Rider, where I thought, that's a pretty good movie. And then you have to hate me.
I'm going to throw this at you. I think Ghost Rider might be a better movie. I'm not saying I would necessarily rather see Ghost Rider than this one again, although neither of those sounds too great. But Ghost Rider, this movie just really has something to say, and what it has to say is just really dumb and incoherent. And it's one of those great ones where by the end, you're like, wow, so everyone sucks. I mean, let me put it this way. Our protagonist, we start off with a scene, and this is how our drone pilot gets in trouble, where our protagonist, despite direct orders repeatedly over and over again from several sources, decides to bomb a a truck where there's some Marines, so the Marines die. It's like super calm and cool about it. He's our hero. And I'm not going to say his character doesn't go through changes. His character goes through a lot of changes. None of them make me like him better. And he's our actual hero. And it's terrible. And it's bad.
Okay, we'll see. Maybe I won't watch it. But maybe I will.
Watch it too, also, if you watch it, note that there are only two black people in the movie. And they are the two leads. And they're going around being covert in a war zone in Eastern Europe, in which there are no other black people. And everybody seems to think this was a good idea because one of them is an android and so didn't have to look like Anthony Mackie. Stick out like a sore thumb absolutely everywhere they go. And it just also feels really weird to have our two leads be black and then literally no one else in the movie. Weird. Feels very strange. Oh yeah, those are the things I saw. I'm also reading the 7th Discworld book, Pyramids. It's growing on me. It didn't start off great. But I'm reading that. Watch that History of Swearing thing on Netflix. Did you watch it?
No.
We watched the first two episodes. It's kind of fun. Trish isn't as into it, but she's not so not into it that she wants to stop watching it. So I'm sort of stuck where I can't watch the next episode until she wants to and she doesn't ever want to. So that's weird. I mean, I guess the hat. Huh?
Yep.
All right. That makes sense. Let's do that.
That'll be good. Full moon tonight.
Ooh.
It's supposed to come up an hour ago.
So it's
probably out right now.
You hear a knock on your door. It might be the moon. Oh, I don't like this at all. This is a question making us stand by statements we made in earlier episodes. I prefer to forget everything we said in earlier episodes. Certainly not have to come to terms with them later. This is from Stu.
Okay.
Early in the pandemic, episode 476, human behavior gave you hope. Still true? Stu.
Gave you hope.
Gave me hope. Yeah, you never have hope from humanity, which is funny because you like humans more than I do. But I have more hope in them.
No, you don't.
Not anymore. I mean, I'm torn. Humans have given me hope recently. In that we got rid of that asshole who I don't even know that I'm ever going to bother to say his name anymore. That guy. He's gone. I like that. So that was hopeful, but I don't know that humanity as a whole did that. I don't know. People came together and people did some really good positive things for each other. And then eventually this all became the norm. And the cool, positive, hopeful stuff kind of happened less. And we just sort of went back to normal. But we all are in our house now. And of course, since the vaccine, hope is plummeting because of all the ways that wealthy people are finding ways to up the line for vaccines. That's not pleasant at all. And a lot of profiting over the pandemic as a whole. And, you know, domestic terrorism. So, not a lot, no. It sucks that I have to say that. I was hoping I could, as I read the question, I was intending to answer in an affirmative somehow, but not true. How about you, William?
I don't know if I feel like, for me, that my level of, you know, hope in humanity, whatever that even really means, fluctuates that often. I mean, things happen that I don't like, and, you know, there are trends that I find troubling, or there are, you know, there are stories I hear about someone doing something and it's terrible, and, you know, all of that stuff. But I mean, there's kind of a, I don't know if any of those things ever, you know, shoot to the heart of how I feel about, you know, humanity as a whole. You know, they're incidents, they're things that happen. And sometimes they're even trends of things that are happening, but it's like, it doesn't necessarily reflect on, you know, what I think is best about humanity, or what I think humans can achieve, or whether or not I think the future is positive or negative in a broader sense, given a, you know, a more immediate trend. You know, I don't know. I think there's,
what would you say does influence those opinions or those beliefs in yourself?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to think.
Which is an interesting question, because if there is nothing, then that implies that your opinions in those categories were established at some point and are static. I find that less than likely.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree with that. So it's like, what? I mean, it seems like, I mean, I don't know.
For the most part, I feel like my views on that are fairly static. The whole thing with early pandemic was an unusual circumstance for me. I'm usually pretty down on the species as a whole, and it just sort of stays that way.
Yeah, I'm not, I mean, down on the species as a whole. And I don't recall a time where I ever have been. And even though, you know, as, you know, more recently in my life, I've learned things that I didn't know before about certain historical things, or, you know, whatever. It didn't, like, somehow there's not, somehow my picture of humanity as a whole and my thoughts about where humanity could go or will go, it's like there's a critical point or a critical line that would need to be crossed right before my generally positive attitude toward humanity would be diminished. And however much stuff happens or that I've learned that I didn't know before, or that I experienced directly from another person, like being cruel to me or whatever, because certainly I've had, you know, I didn't really have a firsthand experience of like a sociopathic person in my life until fairly late in my life, you know.
Tell this guy.
No, not you. I mean, I knew of such people, and I knew of people who had experienced such people, but I hadn't experienced such a person myself. And I since have experienced such a person, and yet that experience hasn't really it hasn't really pushed to that, whatever that level is. You know, I hear people say this all the time, that something happened to them or to someone they know, or they saw something on the news, or they heard about something and they died a little inside. You hear people say that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's an experience I've had.
I died a little on my finger here. I mean, a little part of me died.
I've been, I think, traumatized by certain experiences, to some degree traumatized, not like PTSD traumatized, but, you know, like, it's a thing that I think impacts how I think and act after that for a very long time. you know, like when my mom passed away, you know, there were a lot of things that impacted me and affected me a lot differently than before that event. Because obviously there was a trauma associated with that. Well, there are other things that have traumatized me that way. But I feel like my overall, like I say, mostly positive opinion about humanity and humanity's prospects has stayed the same. Although, like you pointed out,
as far back as you can remember,
I guess, because I don't remember ever having a particularly negative perspective on it. I don't know.
So then there's two, at least I see two possibilities here. One is that's the case, and it just hasn't, I mean, obviously little fluctuations, but like overall, nothing has changed your view on the species, or little things add up. And basically what has happened is it's such an incredibly gradual thing. There are changes, but you don't even sort of notice it against the landscape. It's like the curvature of the earth kind of thing.
Well, here's the thing though. I think for every negative thing that could contribute to pushing me toward that line, there's like two dozen positive things. I mean, good things happen all the time.
That implies your opinion of humanity should have gone up from where it's been over the years.
Yeah, I don't think it's gone up either. No.
So the one thing versus the two dozen things balance out. Well, or both just don't actually have an effect.
Or maybe
you're solipsist, that's what it is. You're like, no. Humanity's all in my head and my head's the same.
Maybe my opinion is just that high. Like, you know, the positive things can't push it any higher. It
can't go any higher.
Yeah, can't go any higher. And the negative things try to drag it down and maybe move it a little bit, but then a positive thing comes around and punches it right back up there. By gummy.
even by gummy. Nice. I mean,
I don't know.
Thank you, sir, for the title of this week's episode. But I don't know. I'm skeptical about this because even I don't think your opinion of humanity is so high it can't go any higher.
I don't know. I mean,
maybe, though, you're kind of a lunatic, so.
I don't know the answer. I'm just saying.
Well, neither do I. I'm just trying to reason out possibilities. I don't know. And by and large, what you are describing, I think, is the wise viewpoint and an incredibly healthy viewpoint. I'm a bit envious. Well, I'm not, in no way am I trying to denigrate it. I'm trying to look at it.
Here's the thing. I find human beings so interesting. Yeah, even when bad things are going on, you know, because
Jesus Christ, are you Doctor Who?
No,
I'm not gonna lie. This would explain so much. No. Can't even begin.
But also,
so much would make more sense if you were Doctor Who.
Also,
I'd kind of be relieved.
I want to give other people the kind of benefit of the doubt and the kind of consideration that I would want people to give me, which, considering how down I am on myself, that's considerable. That's a lot. So yeah.
This is where you can, how to put this? I don't like humans as a species. I like individuals sometimes, often. People suck. Persons are good. So I try and give everybody the benefit of that. To me, it's essentially like racism. Just because I think humans overall suck doesn't mean I should prejudge this person as sucking because they're a human. Same way, it'd be the same way as any other stereotype. Whether, because here's the thing about stereotypes. Even if you believe they're true, you should never act on them because it's not fair to the individual who's being lumped in because of your stereotype. Even if it's true that most X are like Y, when this X shows up, you should give them a chance to show that they are one of the ones who are not Y.
Correct. That's correct.
I try and do that with humans. Like, it becomes weird because, you know, I don't associate with a lot of non-humans. I mean, not like on a real deep level. So it's a little bit tricky, but yeah, I mean, I certainly don't go, yeah, they're human though, so they probably suck.
See, I'm the exact opposite. I think I generally think positively about everybody until they give me a reason not to. And they have to work really hard. I mean, they can't just be mean or have a bad day, or, I mean, they've got to really work at it for me to go, yeah, that person's not a good person. But then I don't judge the whole.
Do you feel the same about non-sentient animals? You generally consider them positive until they're proven otherwise.
I don't know. I don't really approach them the same way at all. I mean, they're just what they are.
But that's the problem. If humans, in this version, humans are an absolute, so we don't have anything to compare it to. That's not necessarily your positive view of the species. But then again, same in my boat. Except I think I'm one of those who in general thinks animals are better than other animals are better than humans. The truth is I don't compare it either. So the truth is, this is a silly discussion. Because our opinion of humans is in a vacuum. Because whatever it is, it's like, well, compared to what?
Yeah.
Like, I say humans suck. You say humans are awesome. We could be talking about the exact same level of quality. But it may not be that I think humans are worse, just that I have higher expectations than you do.
Could be. That's right.
Because we have nothing to compare it to.
Right. That's right.
So this episode is even more useless than usual.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
515 episodes and we found a way to be more worthless than usual.
I feel like we had a, I feel like this is a breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
I feel like I've learned. Well, also I am genuinely leaning into this idea that you're secretly Doctor Who, because I mean, so you become so much more intelligible and less confusing if I consider you to be a rogue Time Lord. Like, yeah, no, a lot. Like, okay. I have no evidence. What I'm gonna say is, in the hypothetical model, you as Doctor Who, a lot of pieces just fit so much better than the hypothetical model you as a human. Like, there's a lot more inconsistencies if we think of you as a human, if we think of you as Doctor Who.
I think Doctor Who thinks a lot more of him or herself than I think of myself. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Doctor Who might say that, though.
Maybe I just don't know I'm Doctor Who. Maybe it's like one basically, of those things.
Doctor Who has regenerated so many times and so many different people play. Basically, there's only two real things you can say about Doctor Who's personality. One, Doctor Who is a huge fan of humans. And two, Doctor Who says a lot of shit that nobody understands but is usually fairly harmless as long as the people don't have any ill intent.
But three, Doctor Who is super confident in him or herself. Like,
except for the times when he's not.
When?
The times when she's lying. Or all sorts of things.
I don't know. I think I'm...
You could wait. You could be the saddest regeneration.
Now, wouldn't that be interesting?
I'm not going to lie. Is a major contender for title of the episode. I'm going to stick with Guy Gummy.
Wouldn't that be interesting if for once Doctor Who was like not 100% confident about every single thought and decision and everything else? That'd be interesting. Because I've never personally known a version of the Doctor that didn't think that he or she was the smartest person in the room. And of course they were. So that was okay. You know, it's not bragging if it's true, but I mean, I've never thought that about myself ever. I don't think I've ever acted like I'm the smartest person in the room. So, I mean, that really disqualifies me from consideration.
Do you own any pocket watches that you feel compelled not to open and look at?
Well, you know, I own pocket watches. Do you?
Are there any that you feel have covers that you feel compelled not to open and look at?
There are pocket watches that for years I haven't opened and looked at. The team got me a pocket watch, remember? I think you guys got me one. No, I think you guys got me one once.
This is the shit that in my brain gets pushed out so I have more Simpsons.
I have a Batman pocket watch.
I was just the other day telling a story about when I was a small child and my sister was in high school and was at the theater department. I had a lot of detail and my friend was like, how do you remember shit like that? And I said, it's random. I can't tell you stories in that much detail about when I was in high school. But I can tell you this one about when I was like 7 and she was in high school.
Now you guys got me a Dragon pocket watch. Really cool.
It sounds like something we would have done.
Yep. And I used to carry it and then it ran out of juice, which was fine. I could have, you know, I could have taken it to some place to get the battery replaced, but I mean, then that just never
happened. Did it have instructions? In general, putting juice into a watch is a bad idea.
Well, I never wanted to replace, you know, a battery. I never wanted to replace the battery myself because I didn't want to scratch it up.
Like orange or grape?
I think I did take it someplace. I think I did replace the battery one time. I had someone else do it, but then it ran out again. And then I just never got back. So I haven't used that watch in years now, but I did.
If you opened up and looked at it, you'd remember that you're a Time Lord.
It's got this cool dragon on it. You guys, it was awesome. You guys got that for me. I love it. But yeah, I haven't used it for a while.
All right. If you also think William is a Time Lord, go to the blog, themagicaltalkingcat.com, and tell us. Also, tell us your opinion of humanity. Let's do it on a scale of 7 to 134. 7 being the worst. You have no faith or positive feeling about humanity. And 134 is you think humanity is perfect. That is the range. Before you ask, no, we have nothing to compare it to. So you can pick an arbitrary number and we won't know if it's really that good or bad.
Perfect. Wow.
So do that. And then I think we should go. I mean, we'll stay here, but we'll turn off the camera and stuff. anyway, remember, write in to the hat for more fun, meaningless conversations like this, but on the topic you choose, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And I will do this again in a week, right? I mean, that's, yeah. So come back again next week or don't come back at all.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.